So for today's episode, I'm going to try to explain to you or simplify intra-aortic balloon pumps. So in my nursing career, when I graduated nursing school back in 2016, I first started off on a cardiac step down. It was a half step down, half ICU. So half of the unit was a cardiac ICU. The other half was a cardiac step down. So I worked on this cardiac step down for, I want to say, about 6 to 8 months. And then I moved my way to the cardiac ICU. It's actually a cardiovascular thoracic unit. Not, I want to say, specifically a cardiac ICU, because we do a lot of pulmonology stuff. We do a lot of renal stuff. But it's mainly focused on cardiology. And we work with two major things in this unit. It's intra-aortic balloon pumps and also Swan-Ganz catheters, also known as pulmonary artery catheters.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And when I first started working there and I first experienced my intra-aortic balloon pump class or my first intra-aortic balloon pump patient, it really blew my mind how we can create these machines, how we take a balloon, shove it up someone's groin, and we have it sit in the aortic artery, and it literally helps the patient perfuse and helps their heart out, helps them with heart failure, and it's basically able to sustain their life until they either recover or they get a heart transplant, or they get an LVAD. So these machines right here, intra-aortic balloon pumps, really blew my mind and really got me curious into cardiology, into cardiac ICU, and into the mechanisms of how we treat heart failure or how we help decompensating patients with these crazy machines. So intra-aortic balloon pump. So what is an intra-aortic balloon pump? So essentially, an intra-aortic balloon pump is an intravascular volume displacement device. So what it does is basically it displaces the blood in the aorta, and at the same time it is able to reduce the workload of the ventricles and increase ejection fraction during systole. So what really confused me a lot of times was the word augmentation. I never really understood what it means. We're augmenting diastolic pressure. What does that mean? So By definition, what augmentation means, or to augment, is just to make greater, because you might hear that we're augmenting the diastolic pressure. You might hear augmentation. What that means is we're just making that diastolic pressure greater or bigger, so it could help push blood into the coronary artery. So it could help better perfuse the myocardium. So when you hear of augmented diastolic pressure, it means the diastolic pressure is being helped, it's being helped to make a little bit greater, so pressure increases and it's able to help perfuse those coronaries during the phase of diastole. So what are some indications for an intra-aortic balloon pump? Acute MI, cardiogenic shock, you can have acute mitral valve regurg, you could also have a ventral septal defect going on. For cardiac surgery, cardiac catheterizations, as well as any kind of cardiac surgeries or angioplasties, ventricular arrhythmias, unstable anginas, and also refractory ventricular failure. So a lot of our heart failure patients are going to get this balloon pump. A lot of patients that are undergoing cardiac surgery will get this as well, just to help support the cardiac function while they're going through this very, very rough phase for their heart. Cardiac surgery puts a lot of stress on the heart. So we want to minimize that stress as much as we can. So we like to put on a intra-aortic balloon pump to help their heart work a little bit less while still perfusing the body and still increasing the cardiac output. So what are some of the hemodynamic effects? I want to go through how it affects four things of the heart, but we're going to simplify it down because you don't really technically need to know all this. It's good knowledge, but when it comes to your basic bedside care or how to troubleshoot or how to figure out what the intra-aortic balloon pump does, all you need to really know is these three things. But let me go to each part of the heart and how it affects it. So basically, the intra-aortic balloon pump improves the failing heart by increasing myocardial oxygen supply at the same time decreasing the myocardial oxygen demand. So in the aorta, it decreases systolic pressures and increases the diastolic pressures depending on inflation and deflation. In the left ventricle, it decreases systolic pressures, decreases end diastolic pressures, decreases volume, and decreases wall tension. So you can see how if somebody has left ventricular failure, this intra-aortic balloon pump helps to ease that stress and that tension on the heart by not only affecting the pressures, but also helping with the wall tension. In the heart, it decreases afterload, decreases preload, and also increases cardiac output. And blood flow, it increases coronary blood flow and coronary perfusion, as well as systemic perfusion. So how does the intra-aortic balloon pump work? So it works by inflating a balloon and deflating that balloon depending on what cardiac cycle we are in, what part of the cardiac cycle we are in. So when the aortic valve is closed, we are in diastole. So when the aortic valve is closed, the balloon pump is inflated. Inflation occurs during diastole, and deflation occurs in systole when the aortic valve is opened. So with the timing of the intra-aortic balloon pump, it is set to inflate when the aortic valve closes, also at the diastolic notch. And it's set to deflate immediately as the aortic valve opens. Why this happens? Because imagine if this balloon was going to inflate when your aortic valve is open. Your heart is pushing blood through the aortic valve into your system, right? So if the balloon was inflated during this, the heart would be pumping blood against the balloon. This would increase pressure. This would cause a really high pressure at the tip of the balloon pump, and you could literally rupture your aorta. You could cause further heart failure. You can cause regurg back into left ventricle. You cause a whole lot of problems. So you can't. It's almost like if the balloon pump wasn't inflated, it's like a cork almost. If you had it corked off, how hard would your heart have to squeeze to push that blood past that cork? So that's why it inflates when it's in diastole and deflates when it's in systole, because we want your heart to push against a smaller pressure gradient. And if you have it inflated during systole, your heart will be pushing against a really, really high pressure gradient, aka a cork in this sense. So when your heart is resting, it's in diastole. So the balloon pump is inflated. So what's going on there is there's counter pulsation going on, which then helps the blood to better perfuse the coronaries and the system. It's almost like an extra, you could say, pump, because your heart's a pump. So this is an intra-aortic balloon pump. When it inflates, it's giving the heart and the system an extra pump, extra pressure to push the blood where it's supposed to go. And that's what really assists the blood flow to the heart. This is what really perfuses your coronaries. This is what increases the myocardial oxygen supply, and at the same time, decreasing the myocardial oxygen demand. So if you imagine this, so this is sitting in your aorta, and this is inflated, and then this is deflated. So your heart is in diastole, your balloon pump is inflated. So your valve is closed. So what's happening here? So if you have a balloon in there, what is it causing? It's causing a higher pressure. And if you're causing a higher pressure, it displaces the blood and it pushes it further where it has to go. So when it's inflated, this is when you're using the counter pulsation to push the blood into the coronary arteries and also push the blood further into the body. And then with systole, the balloon pump is closed. So think about it. When you go from inflated to deflating, it's almost like you're making a sucking motion, because you're going from inflated to deflating, and that deflation, it almost, in a sense, pulls all of your blood from the left ventricle through the aortic valve into the system, ultimately leading to better cardiac output. So the heart is working less because it's getting an assistance from this change in pressure in the aorta. So technically, your heart has to not pump as hard, not squeeze as hard, because this balloon pump is going from inflation to deflation, and it's helping move that blood from the body, from the heart to then the body. So the goal, the main goal of this inflation is to displace the blood into the coronaries. So we want to augment the diastolic pressure. So augment, we want to make it greater. So this balloon pump is making the diastolic pressure technically greater for a little bit in the aorta, so that it could better push that blood and perfuse the coronary arteries, and then leading to a decrease in myocardial oxygen demand while increasing the myocardial supply and perfusion. So again, what this is doing is it's increasing the aortic pressures, it's increasing your MAP with the goal of providing more oxygen to the myocardium and also increasing the coronary perfusion. And then during deflation, once again, what is happening, and the goal is for it to decrease the pressure in the aorta, so that the ventricle can have an easier time to push against this lower pressure. So that way, if this pressure is less than what the heart expected to be because it was an heart failure, you had this balloon pump deflates, lower the pressure, so now it's able to push blood harder and further with less strength because you're decreasing that pressure. Your heart doesn't have to push against that very stiff pressure gradient that it once had to push through before the intra-aortic balloon pump was placed. So this decreases the pressures, which then helps the ventricles push the blood through. This temporarily increases the pressure in the aorta to help better perfuse the coronaries, while deflation helps to decrease that pressure to help the heart push through the systemic vascular resistance and better perfuse the whole body. So with that being said, if you're going to have one major takeaway, or if you're going to be asked, what does the intra-aortic balloon pump do? Just remember these three things. We call it 3.5 things because number three technically is two things in one. But if anybody ever asks you, a physician comes up to you, maybe you're a new nurse, maybe you're starting in the cardiac ICU. If you remember these things, it's going to make this a little simpler, or vice versa. You kind of have to know both, but if you at least understand what the intra-aortic balloon pump does, you kind of figure out the rest of the equation, and you can understand why we put balloon pumps in. So the main thing is that the intra-aortic balloon pump does on a heart is increases cardiac output, increases myocardial oxygen demand, at the same time decreases afterload and decreases preload. So your heart is basically all pressures. If you can adjust one pressure, if you can lower one pressure, it's going to affect the heart in a certain way. Like back to over here, when you increase the diastolic pressure, when you increase the pressure in the aorta, what happens? You get more perfusion for coronaries. But we don't want that during systole, because if you get that during systole, it means your heart has to work harder. That's why we deflate the balloon, because you want your heart to work less. So when your heart is resting, you want to push blood. And when the heart is active, you want to pull blood in a way, if that makes a little bit more sense. So back to this. If you got to remember something, if you have one takeaway from this, I want you guys to remember these things. What does the intra-aortic balloon pump do? Increases cardiac output, increases myocardial oxygen supply, at the same time decreases afterload, decreases preload. It increases cardiac output because it helps the ventricles push past a lower pressure gradient with deflation of the balloon. It increases myocardial oxygen supply because we are inflating the balloon during diastole to help better perfuse the coronaries. And it decreases afterload and preload. Afterload is associated with systemic vascular resistance and also the pressure that the heart has to push past to be able to push blood into your system, which we help with deflation of the balloon. And preload, we associate that with like your CVP, we associate that with the pressure going into your right atrium. And that is consequently, we don't directly affect it because we don't do anything in the right side sense. We only put this on the left side, but the fact that you are decreasing the afterload, decreasing the workload of the heart, you're then causing a decrease in preload because your heart doesn't have to work as hard. You're decreasing pressures at the end part of the cardiac cycle, therefore causing a decrease in pressure in the beginning site of the cardiac cycle, you could say. Something else to remember, I wish I had a balloon pump here, but balloon pump is basically this rectangle machine on wheels, and it has its own monitor. A lot of times you will see this kind of a waveform. You will see your EKG on there. You will see the amount of gas in there. You will see how it's inflating. You will see the augmentation. You'll see all the pressures. I'll pull it up on the screen so you guys could see. But you're going to see all this, and you're going to see some stuff that says unassisted, assisted. And it's going to give you two different systolics, two different diastolics. It's going to give you your augmentation. It's going to give you your MAP. So something to always remember is that your unassisted systolic blood pressure is going to be ideally lower than your balloon augmentation. Another thing is your augmented diastolic pressure is going to be lower than the unassisted diastolic pressure. And also the assisted systolic pressure is going to be lower than the unassisted pressure. So your patient's intrinsic or unassisted pressures, they're going to be greater than the pressures that the balloon pump is helping with. So all your assisted pressures are going to be less than your patient's normal pressures. Because remember, heart is pressure. If you have a high pressure, the heart's working harder. So the goal with the balloon pump is to decrease the pressures, except for the one time when the balloon pump is inflated and it's helping perfuse the coronaries. During that time, we want to have a high pressure because to push that blood. But all the other pressures, we're going to want higher. All the working pressures, we could say all the working pressures of the heart and the systolic pressures, we want those to be lower. This is the relaxing pressure. We want those super high as well, because that's going to be an issue as well. But we want them to be a little bit higher to help better perfuse the heart and help the heart work a little better. Versus the working pressure systolics, we want those to be lower, so the heart doesn't have to work as hard as I have to push past those pressures as hard as I have to pump as hard. So some of the complications we could have because of this intra-aortic balloon pump, we could have a aortic dissection. The balloon could be filling improperly, maybe filling too much. It could also burst. It could basically cause a aortic dissection, which is super scary. Person might have some very, very severe aortic stenosis, or just a very, very weak the aortic tissue vessel around it. Limb ischemia. So this balloon can move. It can cause limb ischemia. If it goes too low, it can drop your renal perfusion. If it goes too high, it can affect your perfusion to your brain. So you have to watch out, because remember, this is a line and our patients do move around. So just be careful where this is. If you see a decrease in urine output, that's a sign to maybe get worried that, hey, maybe the balloon pump migrated a little bit lower and it's impeding the renal vessels. Or if your patient starts to get some neurological issues, maybe they're not remembering where they are, just some kind of change in their neural status, it could show that the balloon pump may be migrated too high and it's impeding that perfusion to the brain. It could cause renal failure. Same reason, it can cause neurological complications. Heparin-induced thrombocytopenia. Usually we have these patients oftentimes on a heparin drip, or oftentimes where this balloon is heparinized so it doesn't clot off. It could cause that. And just the fact that your body has a foreign object in it, it increases the likelihood of thrombocytopenia. It's with any kind of foreign device that you put in the body that's going to stay there for a long time, especially if it affects the heart. Research shows that for whatever reason, I'm sure I can look it up for you guys. I'm sorry that I didn't. But every time you introduce a foreign device in your body likes to attack it. And oftentimes it leads to a thrombocytopenia. It can cause infection. Remember, this is sitting in your aorta. And if you place this in an unsterile fashion, it could cause an issue. If the dressing is bad, it could cause an infection. So there's a lot of stuff that could go wrong. Lots of risk for infection here. The balloon could also rupture. It's got helium gas that I forgot to mention. So this doesn't get filled up with air. This gets filled up with helium gas because, worst case scenario, if this were to rupture, helium gas doesn't affect the the blood the same way that the air does. Because if this was air in here, your patient would throw a clot. There'll be like a air embolism and they could die. But with it having helium, your body is able to absorb that helium and it won't affect it as much as it would affect air, because this is air. That's why we would say, you know, make sure your lungs don't have any air because you have an air embolism. Imagine if this had air and this ruptured, that instant that death right away, pop. And imagine that air keep getting pushed into death. Helium, it metabolizes differently, so your body has a different way of binding to it and getting rid of it. So the one last thing I want to go over is this little diagram here. So this is your intra-aortic balloon pump waveform. So when you look at this, you're also going to see how it's paired up with your EKG, ECG. So this waveform, this is the waveform your balloon pump produces on the monitor, and this is a waveform that you should understand, and it should look like this. This one is a 1-2. So as we put our patient to a 1-1, which is with every cardiac cycle we are assisting them, sometimes we put them to 1-2, where it's every other beat we're assisting them. We also might do 1-3, which is every third beat we are assisting them, depending on how sick they are. Usually patients start off at a 1-1, then we slowly move them to a 1-2. So what's happening here? So the first, you can say, up wave is going to be your, this one's 1-2. So your first up wave here, these two right here are going to be your unassisted systole. So this is the patient's regular unassisted systole. This is your patient's systolic regular blood pressure. One on the bottom here, this is your unassisted aortic and diastolic pressure. So this is unassisted. So this, you could say, this is your unassisted heartbeat. This is your cardiac cycle of what's going on with your patient when he's just regular. No balloon pump interference, no balloon pump assistance. This big one, so now you have your balloon pump working. This is your diastolic augmentation pressure. So you know how we said it, we augment things to make it greater? So we're making the diastolic pressure greater. See how it's above the other pressures? Because now the balloon pump is inflated and we are increasing this pressure so then we can better perfuse the coronary arteries. And then it drops, and this is your assisted aortic and diastolic pressure. You know how I mentioned that we want the pressures to be lower? See where the patient's unassisted diastolic pressure was? Right here. Now with the balloon pump's assistance, it looks a lot lower, right? So this is the balloon pump's assisted aortic and diastolic pressure. This is where we have a drop in myocardial oxygen demand. So we went from a high pressure. Remember, we're filling this balloon pump. We're pushing the blood just for a little bit. Just for a little bit, because we want that blood to be pushed over there. We want a higher pressure to better perfuse coronaries. Then it drops. Here's just the diastolic pressure. And then pop, the balloon pump then deflates. And this one is going to be also lower than the unassisted systolic pressure. Maybe I should draw a little bit lower, but to me when I was drawing this, it looked like it was lower. So ultimately, your assisted systolic is going to be lower than your unassisted systolic pressure. Like I said, the pressures, we want to make the pressures as low as we can to prevent added stress on the heart, make it pump more effectively, more efficiently, and we want to decrease the systolic and diastolic pressure, except for one instance where we are augmenting diastolic pressure to then better perfuse the coronaries. So that, guys, is my rundown of the intra-aortic balloon pump. It took me a long time to finally be able to understand this, so hopefully I did a good job of explaining to you. Hopefully you gained some insight, some knowledge about it, but this is a really fascinating machine. It's really cool once you fully understand it. It's really, really scary in the beginning, but once you understand why we do it, how it works, how the waveform looks, what are we actually trying to do with this, It's a lot easier to understand. You actually feel like, okay, now I kind of understand when physicians ask me about this or they tell me this, or now I understand the plan of care because the balloon pump's supposed to do this, or even with troubleshooting. You know, what's going on with the balloon pump? Why is it alarming? Is there no waveform? Is it not inflated? Is it not deflated? Is the timing off? Is it supposed to be set to 1-1, but I had it set to 1-2? So I hope you guys enjoyed this presentation on the intra-aortic balloon pump. And I wish you guys best of luck. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, please reach out to me. Thank you so much.
Oh, I gotta go. I've been working, told them please don't hit my phone. I'm in my zone, bro. Just leave me alone. Was on the road, but I swear I'm coming home. Now the drinks on me, I think we need a toast. See, I did it for me. Now my